Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As long as we exist on earth, our lives impact the lives of people around us. Sometimes the impact is very, very negative. Sometimes the impact is very, very positive. From God's perspective, a witness is of utmost importance to him. In the book of Romans, the Lord tells us that when I punish and condemn those who have never heard Christ before, those who have never heard about Christianity, never received one jot or tittle of God's holy word, I will use my creation as my witness against them. And from creation, they will know that I exist and I am a powerful God. And creation, God says, is a sufficient witness to condemn so that they will be without excuse. You find this revealed to us in Romans chapter 1. So God is very concerned with witness. Even to those who are born in sin and who will die in sin, who will never be given any privilege, opportunity to hear Christ. The Bible says that because we are born in sin, God doesn't need to allow anyone to hear Christ at least once in his lifetime before God condemns him. And the reason is, God sent Jesus Christ onto this earth not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that is found in John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And this is something that we must never forget. We are all born in sin, and God is under no obligation to allow anyone to hear Christ at least once before they die in sin and end up in hell. In order to be saved, you must go through Christ. But in order to be condemned, you don't need to hear Christ. You are already under condemnation. That's why the Bible made it very plain and clear. God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why? Because the world is already under condemnation. And the witness that God will use to condemn the world is idolatry. We turn God into the objects made by the hands of man. And that is the evidence that we are already in sin. And God says, my witness against you, you know I exist, and you know that I'm a powerful God. And you made me into your own small little object and reduced the greatness and the powerful God into the works of the hands of man. And that it is enough, God says, that you are now without excuse when I condemn you. But to save us, God needs another kind of witness. Creation as a witness is not enough. He needs his own witness. And the witness that he gave to us that is perfect is called the Word of God. But the problem is the people will not read the Bible. They will not read the Bible. But they will read the impact and the lives of the people who believe in the Bible. And that is why when we look at this topic concerning know your church, we have to begin with the witness before the church witness. We are living in the period of the church witness. But before there was the church witness, what kind of witness did God have for the Lord Jesus Christ? Not the creation witness. The creation witness continues to be true today. Even though it had fallen into sin, even though creation groaneth for our glorification so that creation can be restored back to its original form where a lamb and a lion can dwell in peace without eating the lamb by the lion. Despite the fallen state and condition of creation, the creation still have sufficient glory and splendor to tell us that God exists and this God is all-powerful. But in order to save mankind, God says, I need human witnesses so that by their lives of obedience to the Word of God, the sinners around us may see that there is an alternative. They don't have to live in sin. They don't have to remain in the bondage to sin and die in sin and end up in hell. There is an alternative that is far better. And God tells us that they are called vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction. That's why the need for human godly witnesses is very, very much alive today. That's always been the case. Look at verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath to make his power known, endured with much long suffering? The vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. God had not destroyed each and every one of them yet, even though he had the right to do so. The Bible says he endured with much long suffering, not just long suffering, much long suffering. And the use of the word long suffering, we know, is with reference to difficult people, sinful people. So God tolerated them, God persevered and endured all the vessels of wrath that are already fitted for destruction. They all are primed and prepped and ready to be sent to hell by God. This is the state and condition of our world. You and I were in that state before salvation. That's why there is a grave need and a great need for the kind of witness that can help deliver the vessels of wrath out of this state of condemnation and destruction. And in the book of Genesis, you will notice that there were a lot of families, godly families that God used to be that instrument of his witness that will bring salvation. Families of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, families of Abel and Enoch and many others, including Job. Job probably lived during the same time frame as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because in Job chapter 1, the Bible says that Job offered offerings on behalf of the family as the head of the house. It was a godly home. So God used families. In the book of Genesis, when the word Gentile appears, it is not to be understood the way that it is meant to be used subsequently after the book of Exodus. Because the word Gentile already occurred in the book of Genesis. It simply means nation. That's it. Because there was no nation of Israel yet. The word Gentile simply means nations. It could refer to any nation. But the moment Israel was formed, the word Gentile nations will now be used in contradistinction to the nation of Israel. Because the nation of Israel was a nation designed entirely by God from its inception. Because it is going to be the nation that the Lord Jesus Christ will one day obtain his nationality. He will be called an Israelite. And because he will come through the tribe of Judah, he will be called a Jew. But before that, there was no nation of Israel. There were only godly families that functioned as witnesses to vessels of wrath that were fitted for destruction so that they will find salvation in Christ. And God will replace the family witness with the national witness. And that's the nation of Israel. And so when you read the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you're going to find in these four amazing books detailed description by way of inspiration teaching Israel how to exist as a national witness. It was entirely God's own unique solo decision. God did not sit down and have a chit-chat with Moses or Joshua. Give me your point of view. Submit to me your perspective on how Israel ought to conduct herself as a nation. God did not ask anyone because no one knows Jesus Christ better than God the Father. And since Israel was supposed to live and conduct herself as a nation that is supposed to reflect the image of Christ so that the world that is like vessels of wrath fitted for destruction may find salvation in Christ because of God's much long-suffering, so that they will come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior. And that's why God says, for you, Israel, unlike all the rest of the Gentile nations that are idolatrous, Their culture is rooted in idolatry. Their way of life and way of behavior and conduct, their entire legal system, everything about all these nations are rooted in the teaching and the ideas and notions of the god of this world, the devil. And God did not take such a nation, Christianize it, and then use it as the nation through whom Christ will finally come. God designed his own from scratch, literally. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob turned his 12 sons into the nation of Israel. 12 tribes plus one, the tribe of Levi. They will become the religious part because Israel is a spiritual nation unlike the rest of the Gentile nations. And from that point onwards, the word Gentile will now be used in a totally different sense, in contrast to the nation of Israel, completely ordained by God, from how you dress, how you eat, how you spend your week, how you spend your day, all your religious holidays are all prescribed by God. When to conduct it, how to conduct it, the place of worship, who can be my priest, who can be my mediators, what kind of clean animals, how the sequence of clean animals are to be offered, such as sin offering first, then burnt offerings, then peace offering, then thank offering, what they mean, and all these are prescribed by God because you are to do it in a manner to reflect the true image of Jesus Christ. That's the national witness. And that is the transition that the Apostle Paul highlighted in Romans chapter 9. The first 8 chapters of Romans, Paul explained in great detail what it means to be a Christian. Chapter 1, all Gentiles are sinners by way of creation as a witness. Chapter 2, all Jews are sinners by way of the word of God, special revelation. Sure, the Bible can condemn and save. And Paul balanced it very well in Romans 2. Conclusion, chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even though the manner in which he proved his point, for Gentiles, he used creation. For Jews, he used the word of God, special revelation. But the conclusion remains the same. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, the very well-known verse. And since all of us are in the same state of sin and condemnation, Romans 4, we all need to believe by faith to receive Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And what is genuine true faith? Abraham was used as an example to illustrate what true genuine faith is. And then after that, from 5, 6, 7, 8 onwards, he began to explain segment by segment what happens to a person when he actually becomes a Christian. And so he described what it means to be a Christian in Romans 6 as a positional Christian, always righteous, always holy, always pure before God, so that God will always impute to you the righteousness that is of Christ, and he will never take it away from you. Romans 7 describes the practical aspect of what it means to be a Christian, where the desire of the Christian is always to be holy, always to be perfect, but in reality, he could not. But thanks be to God, God will always deal with us based upon what Christ has done, not based upon what we do from a practical standpoint in relation to our salvation. In relation to our service, he will still deal with us from a practical point of view. But in terms of salvation, his conclusion is Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's why the first 8 chapters, he explained to us what it means to be a Christian. And then chapter 12, to the end, he gave us very good pointers on how our lives must be a holy witness for Christ. And in between 9, 10, and 11, he explains to us why the church is now the new witness to replace the nation of Israel. And that's why we have chosen Romans 9, verse 22 to 26, to help us understand the witness before the church witness. Israel had always been a problem witness for the Lord. If you recall the Old Testament passage well enough, you will understand that God's requirement for Joshua and his generation and the generation immediately after Joshua, you are to enter the promised land and you are to wipe out all the Canaanites. Not only their places of worship, not only their idols, but you must kill every man, woman, and child. so that Israel will begin a holy witness without any Gentile nations to mar, to spoil their witness. Because these Gentile nations will hold on to their idolatry if you do not remove them. But sadly, the Bible tells us that soon after Joshua's passing, the generation that came after Joshua wanted to experience what's it like to be a master. And so these Philistines, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, and all these Canaanites, they allowed them to pay tribute instead of destroying them when they had the power to do so. And for that transgression and disobedience, God says, when you have the power given by me to destroy them and you refuse, I will now take away that power, and these Gentile nations will remain a thorn in your side for the rest of your existence in the promised land. And that's how Israel continued to struggle, and the period of judges came into existence, where every Israelite did what was right in their own eyes. When they have the word of God to guide them, they refuse. They became like a Gentile nation. Because when you look at the Gentile nations, everyone without exception, including Singapore, our leaders and all the leaders of the Gentile nations will do what is right in their own eyes. Isn't that true? Why was it a problem for Israel? Because you have God's word. You are designed by God to be a holy witness for Christ. You cannot do what is right in your own eyes because I have given you my word to help you how to be my witness to do what is right in my eyes, not your eyes. Because in your eyes, you're going to corrupt the image of Christ in your witness as a nation. But if you do what is right in my eyes, according to the Bible, you will be a good witness to reflect the image of Christ correctly so that these vessels of wrath fitted for destruction can experience God's mercy and find salvation in Christ, because that's how important holy witnesses are to God. God can just simply save us and take all of us home to glory. Then the only witness left behind will be creation, and you and I know it is good enough to condemn, but not good enough to save. God needs human witnesses to obey God's word so that we will become the living testament, the living testimony, the book, the pages, that the world will not see from the book, the Bible, but they will see from your life and my life. And that's what Israel was supposed to be as a nation. And so God did not give up on Israel. When they were in sin, God sent judges. And these judges will help them and bring them back upon repentance to rule over them for a season of time until their death. And tragically, they return to their old ways of sin after the death of the judges. And then when the period of judges ended, they said, we don't want any more judges, because Samuel was a good and last judge. They said that we want to be like the Gentile nations. We want to have a king like them. We don't want God as our king, because at the time, God was the king. And God doesn't need an army to protect them as a king. They wanted a human being to be their king. And they said that we want a king like the Gentile nations. And that was a sin. And so God warned them, are you sure you want that? Because once you have decided, there is no turning back. And that's exactly what they wanted. Even after God instructed Samuel to tell them, let them know that if they want a human being to be a king, the entire way of life will be changed forever. Your sons will be conscripted into army life. Your daughters will also be taken in to be cooks and bakers to feed the army. And then they're going to, king will take your property as a reward for their captains and their generals. Are you sure you want a human king? After all these have been made known to them, and they said to Samuel, yes, we still want. And so God chose for them King Saul, a king just like the rest of the world. Good to look at on the outside, but a man after his own heart inside. Unlike David, a man after God's own heart. During the period of monarchy, there were very few good kings. And so at the end of Solomon's reign, when God entrusted Solomon with an Israel that was the best that Israel could ever have, because King David was a very good spiritual king. And Solomon was given wisdom to do well. But tragically, after 40 years as king, Solomon brought so much corruption into Israel because he disobeyed God by marrying many wives, by leaning upon gold and military might instead of leaning upon God. God says, I'm going to split the witness into two. And that's the start of the divided kingdom. hoping that with two witnesses now, instead of one nation, now two, the northern and the southern. Hopefully, there will be a good witness. And sadly, the northern kingdom never had a good king, because the first king, Jeroboam, was a terrible king. But the southern kingdom had about 8 or 9 good kings. But during this period, God sent prophets of the prophets of the prophets to rebuke all these evil and bad kings, to steer them back into a holy witness for Christ as a nation. But they keep on rejecting. And God said, enough. He removed Israel, 722 BC, by the Assyrians. And then 586 BC, he removed Judah by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar. And for 70 years, God removed them. No more witness. God could have destroyed them and erased them permanently, as Jeremiah testified in Lamentation. By the mercies of God, Judah was not consumed. Judah was destroyed, but not consumed. Could have, but only destroyed them. Because at the end of 70 years, God brought them back and let them now be a witness again. But this time around, no more as a sovereign nation, but now you're going to be under superpowers who are now Gentiles. First the Babylonians, then the Medo-Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans, right up to the time of Christ. Israel will only receive back her independence in 1948 AD. So the national witness right up to the birth of Christ, this is going to be crucial, because Jesus Christ did not minister to anyone else except to the Jews. Because out of all the nations of the world, the Jews was the only nation that had the word of God. Out of all the people on earth, they would be the best people to recognize Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, because they have the Old Testament. That's why he reached out to them first, as he has promised. And sadly, tragically, at the end of Christ's life, the Jews rejected him. By that rejection, it was unlike all the past rejections in the time of the kings and the judges. Because in the time of the kings and the judges, they rejected the messenger, but not the message. The message was Christ. But when Christ himself came, and then when they rejected Christ, that is the heart and soul of the message of the witness. God says, enough. I cannot use you anymore as my witness for Christ, because you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the heart and soul of your existence, as my witness on earth. And so God rejected Israel. And that was exactly what the Apostle Paul was trying to explain in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And it comes with a warning. The problem with Israel was pride and arrogance. And so he warns us as Gentile witnesses who has taken over the national witness, that is the local church. If God were to cut off his own people, the olive tree, because of their pride and arrogance, you are grafted in. Don't you ever be arrogant and proud and despise the privilege of being my witness in place of the nation of Israel, because I could very well cut you off as well. And you look at the state and condition of the local church witness, filled with idolatry, filled with pride, filled with arrogance. And we think that God is blind and dead and cannot see. That is why it is so important for us to focus on know your church, because the Christian faith, the church today, is now in the ecumenical mode. That means there are very few good, sound, biblical churches that truly honor and promote the Christ of the Bible. In the entire history of the existence of the church, we started in Acts chapter 2, which we are going to look at, God willing, next Lord's Day. We are living in the last moment of the existence of the church witness. And therefore, it is going to be very difficult for us in our generation to find a church that is sound and good and biblical, that will help us know Jesus Christ properly, accurately, according to the Bible, to make sure of our salvation, and then after that, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be difficult. That's why it is so important for us to know how we must witness for Christ, because to be a witness for Christ is important to Christ. He will always have his witness, creation, witness enough to condemn but not to save. In order to save vessels fit for destruction, vessels of wrath, he needs good Christians. There is a need, and that is the purpose of our existence that we must never forget, because that was the same purpose for the nation of Israel. Look at verse 23 and 24. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. So those who have experienced salvation in Christ Jesus, God says, I want you to be my witnesses. That is why you are allowed to remain on earth. That's why God says, I am keeping you alive. I've given you spiritual gifts. Do not fail me the way that the people of Israel failed me in the past. Study the Old Testament books, how they kept on failing the Lord and the Lord kept on helping them. They entered in 1405 BC. God stopped using them at the ascension of Christ. Ask yourself one question. 1405 BC, that is 1,405 years, right up to the birth of Christ. The ascension of Christ, 33 years. Christ lived and born and lived for 33 years. So 1405 plus 33. What is the number? 1438. Right? 1405 plus 33 is 1438. The national witness existed for 1,438 years. The church witness, how long has it been? 33 AD, let's say. What year is this now? 2018. You minus 2018 with 33. Nearly 2,000 years. The church witness is longer than the national witness. But are we any better as a witness for Christ? There was a period called the 1,000 years of dark ages. From the 4th century onwards, when the church was conquered and turned into a political movement by Constantine. When he took the church witness out of persecution and turned it into a state religion to give it respectability. And that was the beginning of the end of the church witness that is filled with purity, holiness, and godliness. Because when they were persecuted, many were truly born again, because the cost of becoming a Christian in the first, second, and third century. Do you want to believe in Christ? The moment they say yes, they must be prepared to lose their jobs, their properties, their family, their freedom, and their lives. And yet they still want to believe in Christ. When Constantine turned Christianity into a state religion, anyone who wants to serve in my empire and be a governor, be a treasurer, be a VIP, you must first become a Christian. Overnight, everybody wants to be a Christian. You think that's a good thing? The dilution of Christianity crept in. And that is the start until the 16th century Reformation, when God gave the church witness a new beginning with Martin Luther. And so when you think of the 2,000 years of witness, half of it, dark ages, where the Roman Catholic Church wielded power more like a political system than a church for Christ. The Inquisition, the persecution went on for 1,000 years. The witness has always been very important to the Lord. And we do it because God says the glory on the vessels of mercy which God had afore prepared unto glory, ordained. Even us, whom God has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And so there is a transition. The Gentiles have always been part of salvation, even during the time of the national witness. Rahab, the prostitute. Ruth, a Moabitess. But in order for them to be a witness on earth, they have to join the nation of Israel, which they did. They cannot stand alone, because it was the national witness period that when the nation rejected Christ, God says, I will now replace you with the Gentiles. the church. And God wants us to realize and understand that as a church, as Gentiles, we are replacement because of Israel's disqualification. Don't you ever be arrogant and be proud, thinking that God cannot do without us. We are grafted in. It is an honor and a great privilege to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not betray Christ the way that Israel betrayed Christ, because Israel was made up of both believers and unbelievers throughout her existence until God rejected Israel as a national witness and replaced her with a church witness, a local church witness in our time, the church age. Do not fail the Lord. There are many vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. They require to see vessels of mercy. Have you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior? Because there are only two kinds of vessels. Vessels of wrath, fitted, prep, prime, ready to be destroyed. The moment you die in sin, hell waits for you. But the vessels of mercy who have truly experienced salvation, grace in Christ Jesus, who died for your sin, who rose from the dead for your justification, this is called vessels of mercy, not vessels of wrath. It's God's mercy. We all know that we deserve to be sent to hell, but God showed mercy, because mercy means punishment we deserve God withheld. And that's how God described us, and that's how God wants us to see ourselves, and that's how God wants us to see the world. They are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Don't see them as competitors in your workplace, trying to climb the corporate ladder. You are not sent here by God, the Lord Jesus Christ, after your salvation to climb the corporate ladder. You have been sent by God, your Lord Jesus Christ, to remain on earth as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not going to read the perfect witness, which is the Bible, but they are going to read your life. Vessels of mercy who have tasted and experienced the mercies of God in Christ, to know that the bondage of sin has been broken from you in your life forever. So don't live in sin anymore. Don't think about sin anymore. Don't be motivated by sinful desires anymore. Let the love of Christ constrain you. Let the mind of Christ fill you, so that your thinking, which will in turn change your desires according to scriptures. Because God wants you and me to be a holy witness. That's always been His desire when He formed the nation of Israel. And before that, when He raised up godly families like Job, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and perhaps many, many more. God wanted all vessels of wrath fitted for destruction to be exposed to Christ so that they can be saved. That's why God, the Bible says, with much long-suffering, God endured them. Why? So that witnesses like yourself and myself can go out and reach out to them. That's why your colleagues who are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction are still alive, because God wants you to reach out to them. That's why your loved ones and family members who are also vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, they are still alive. Not by chance, not by accident, but because God wants you as vessels of mercy to show them the love of God in Christ. That's why you and I are here. That's why they are in your life. That's why the witness before the church witness, you must understand how they failed the Lord and how the Lord replaced them with you and me, Gentiles. And how did God describe us? You look at the qualification of the witness. First, the need of the witness because of the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Then the purpose of the witness, to tell them about an alternative. You can become vessels of mercies. We were once vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, but God showed mercy to us. And God wants you and me now to tell them about God's love in Christ so that they can also experience God's mercy. And the qualification of the witness, verse 25 and verse 26. As He said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. That's us. That's us. Is that a description of you and me? I hope so, because that is a description of someone who is born again. Once upon a time before salvation, we were not God's people. Once upon a time before salvation, we were not loved by God. But after salvation, we are now God's people. After salvation, we are now called God's beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said of them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. That's us. That's the qualification. Is the church made up of all believers? Tragically not. We hope so. We desire so. That's why we keep on preaching the gospel morning, noon, and night. So that all who come in, even though they may come in the guise of vessels of mercy, they might still be actually vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. We give them the gospel as often as we can, as much as we can, hoping that they will be saved. Because God has shown to them and endured with much long suffering toward them. That's why with the many, many fold sins and evil, they are still alive. They want to be saved, but they do not know it. They do not know that there is an alternative. God wants them to be given the gospel. And you and I are to be that witness to do so. That's how important you are to God. Do you realize that? Children of the living God. Once upon a time, not even called God's people. Actually, we were enemies. Steeped in idolatry. Did what was right in our own eyes. Selfish, self-centered. All kinds of filthy language comes out of our mouth, which reveal the darkness of our heart. And then God, in His infinite mercy and wisdom, reached forth and saved us. And God sent someone to give us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God prepared our hearts, our circumstances of life, and gave us the gospel. And when we heard the gospel at the right time, according to God's appointment, God saved us. I remember when I first heard the gospel through the lips of my sister. All my life, I've never been exposed to the gospel throughout my entire study life, including my national service. Never met a single Christian before in my life. Until my sister went to university and she was the first one to become a Christian. I still remember when we were living in our rented premises somewhere in Changi. We lost everything. My dad was a multimillionaire. After his passing, we lost everything. And so we have to live on what my mom had saved, or what my dad had saved for my mom, for us. Nine of us, nine children. I was 17 years old. Finished national service, studying in the U. And then my sister shared with us the gospel during dinner time. I will never forget that moment. She was my older sister. I scolded her. I told her, if you speak this kind of nonsense in the house, you get out and don't eat with us. My mom was there. My older brother was there. My younger brothers and sisters were all there. And I was not the head of the family by far. But I didn't care. You don't talk this kind of nonsense in this house. That was how I responded to the first gospel message I heard. Vessel of wrath fitted for destruction. And my own words is the evidence to say that I deserve it, to be sent to hell because of my sin, my evil, wicked nature. But the amazing thing was my sister never retaliated, never got angry and upset, and she was my older sister. She could tell me to shut up, but she did not. She just kept quiet and stopped speaking. And that made me feel even worse. And then when December came, she bought me a Christmas gift to make me feel even worse. And then when I opened the gift, to make it even worse, it was the Bible. That kind of love that she showed is exactly what Jesus Christ said, to pour hot coals on my head to make me feel so guilty and so miserable. And out of guilt, I read the Bible. Half of the Old Testament, too much killing, too much blood, I stopped. Then I flip. Hey, there's a New Testament. Finish the New Testament, put it one side. Just like any history book, no big deal. Nearly a year after that incident, the Lord saved me. I went to church for the first time, heard the gospel for the first time. After that incident, or rather second time because my sister was the first, I accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior in my first attendance in a church. brought there by my classmate who was also studying architecture with me in my previous church. I remained in that church for 7 years. Before the Lord took me out, I went to full-time ministry, went to FEBC. But that was my first experience in a church. And when I accepted Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, my whole burden was lifted. After the service, my friend shared with me the gospel once more and asked me whether I want to accept Christ as Lord and as Savior. By God's timing, God prepared my heart. I accepted Christ. And He taught me, from now onwards, you must pray and give thanks before your meal. You must now come to church faithfully. You must now read the Bible. That's all He said. And then I went back home, went to the bus stop, and I felt as if I was walking on air. I felt so light, so happy, so thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that when I look at the world, it's as if it's a new world. But then when I think back about what happened, the world is the same. Then why does it feel like a new world to me? It's not the world that has changed. I have changed. And so little by little, my ambition of doing well, to make tons of money, little by little, year by year, evaporated. And by the time I was about to graduate, architecture was 4.5 years. So during the 5th year, before my graduation, I prayed to the Lord, if it's God's will for me to go into full-time ministry, please let me work for 3 years. The reason why I asked for 3 years was because I wanted to work hard and give money back to my mom to support my younger brothers and sisters, just as my older siblings work hard and give money to my mom to support my university. That's why I asked for 3 years. And true enough, after 2 years, sit there, Sunset Gospel Hour, the Lord called me into full-time ministry. But I struggled for 6 months before I surrendered my life with many excuses, and God answered all the excuses one by one, literally. One of my excuses was, Lord, I don't even have an HDB house. Why don't you call me after I get my HDB house? And that night, you know what text the Lord used to rebuke me and shut my mouth? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. You dare to set conditions of a house before you surrender? I repented. One by one. I said, what about my girlfriend, Angie, my wife? What if she break off with me? Those who love father, mother, wife, brother, sister, even your own life more than me, not worthy to be my disciple. Again, repented. Run out of excuse. Ultimately, either you obey or disobey. 6 months. And that's why the whole thing lasted 3.5 years. If I surrendered immediately, it would have been 3 years exactly. Because after I surrendered, I gave my boss 1 year notice to finish my university project before I give up architecture for good. The Lord changes us. What happened to my ambition to make tons of money just simply disappeared. Did I do it deliberately? No. It just happened. I can't explain it. I was just like every other Singaporean, as a non-Christian, study hard and work my tail off, hardly slept at all, my first year in architecture. Did I do well? By God's grace. But there was an emptiness in my soul, so that at the start of my 2nd year, that's when I accepted Christ. There's a void inside. There's an emptiness inside. That is the result of the bondage of sin until that was filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then your life, little by little, through the study of God's Word, through Christian fellowship, it will change your mind and your heart and your entire being. To be a holy witness for Christ is the best thing that could ever happen to any human being. Because whether you and I like it or not, we live on this earth, we are a witness. The question is, is it going to be a witness that will impact a sinner for Jesus' sake and help the person come to know Christ? Or are you going to be a witness that is only good for the things of the world, no matter what it is? And the worst thing is, a bad witness is the worst kind of thing. To live a life that can only bring sorrow to others. As a pastor, I have buried a lot of people. Can't count how many by now. But there was one burial that will remain in my heart and my mind for the rest of my life. It was the burial of an individual in an old folks' home. I've not met that individual before. It was through the Mandarin Congregation Ministry where they visit people who are in old folks' home. And apparently this gentleman came to know Christ. So I went to that old folks' home to conduct the funeral. There was no vigil services, only the funeral. So I went there about maybe 15, 20 minutes early before the date, before the time for the service to begin. So I went there, arrived, I sat there and I waited. If the Mandarin brethren had not come, I would be conducting the funeral service alone. Just him, the dead person and me. No loved ones, no family, no friends. It means nobody missed him. I asked, what happened to his family, his wife, his children, his friends? All of them despised him. And so after the short singing, the prayer, we got to push his coffin from that room all the way to the hearse. And we have to pass all the old folks. And all the old folks just sat there staring at us as I walk in front of the coffin that was behind me as I lead the cortege to the hearse. I look at all of them. It's a very surreal experience because these are all the people who have been left there. How many of them have loved ones who will continue to come and visit them? This man was not a young man who died. I remember if he was 60 or 70 years old, or even more than that. He lived for 60, 70 years. What kind of witness, what kind of impact his life had? So negative, even for the standard of the world, that nobody is going to miss him, nobody cared for him, nobody even wanted to attend his funeral to send him off. To me, that is a very sad life. By God's grace, he came to know Christ before he died. But could he be a witness too little too late? If he truly accepted Christ, I believe the testimony of our Mandarin brethren who shared the gospel, who prayed with him, they told me that he did. By God's grace, perhaps he did. Maybe like the thief who was crucified next to Christ. Last moment, he accepted Christ. But his life, it was in shambles, it was in ruins. His witness was a gigantic negative. Whether you and I like it or not, the moment you exist on earth, you're going to be a witness to the people in your life throughout your lifetime, whatever length of time. As a vessel of mercies, if you have truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, you can do so much for Christ, for God, and for the people around you. They are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. You are vessels of mercies whom God called children of the living God. Be a holy witness. We are living in the last days where holy witnesses are going to be harder to find than rare diamonds because of the great ecumenical movement that is consuming Christianity. And the BP movement is not left unscathed. The bulk of the BP churches, even in Singapore, are now part of the ecumenical movement, whether directly or indirectly, because of their support of the parachurch groups such as the Navigators, the VCF, and Campus Crusade for Christ, which are all full-fledged members of the end-time one-world church of the Antichrist. If you support these parachurch groups in your churches, you are promoting the kingdom of the devil inside your church. And that is why it is so needful for us to hold on to a holy witness. And to do that, you must understand the witness before the church witness. Israel was the only witness designed by God from the very beginning, and they failed the Lord miserably. And God replaced them with the church. Don't fail him. The bulk of Christianity has already failed. We cannot control the bulk of Christianity, but you can control your own personal witness, and you must do your part. in protecting your church witness if you are still found in a church that is sound and good and holy. Vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction, needs to read your life that is lived according to the word of life. They're not going to read the Bible, the perfect witness that God has left behind for us, but they're going to read your life. Therefore, read your life. Let them see Christ. Live it according to the Bible, and let the church help you. Your local church. Pray for your leaders. Make sure all the ministries are managed according to the teaching of God's word, so that every sinner who comes may find salvation, so that every brother and sister in Christ can come to your church and find in your church a place where they can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the word of God, because it is filled with godly men and women and children. And the word of God is not only faithfully taught, but obeyed. Be a good witness. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for saving us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for placing us in these last days of the church existence before the Lord's soon return. And You have saved us and allow us to remain here on earth to be a faithful witness for Thee. Help us therefore, O Lord, as we have experienced Your mercies and we are now called children of the living God, may we not fail Thee and fail the people around us, especially those who are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. O Lord, may Thou use us to show them that there is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can help them and deliver them from the bondage of sin so that they do not need to die in sin and end up in hell. O Lord, in these last days, bring to our hearts a deep sense of conviction and a purpose that is holy, righteous, and godly, so that we may not lose sight of why You have allowed us to remain on earth to be a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days before the Lord's soon return. May the light that we shine for our Savior shine brightly in this age of global deception and the darkness that will soon envelop the entire face of Christianity. O Lord, may Thou use Your children to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully all the days of our lives, even unto the time when the Lord Jesus returns. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.